Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. today.
All right, it's expected possibly before the show ends, or maybe even on the Conway show, there will be a news conference out of Texas to update everyone on the horror that occurred at an elementary school in a place called Uvalde, Texas, outside of San Antonio. 14 elementary school children killed, one teacher killed, several people in critical condition, an 18-year-old shooter who, yes, looks like he did some social media posting about his intentions. We'll fill you in and see what else we can find out, because there's some strange other details that have been floating around most of the day concerning some sort of a chase, and he may have crashed his car and ran into the school, barricaded himself in, but he is dead as well. So if this happens during our show, we'll certainly bring it to you here on KFI.
James Tubbs has been in the news for months, sometimes as James, sometimes as his transgender alter ego, Hannah. Last we heard, Hannah had convinced Gascon that he was a woman and ended up going to a girls' juvenile detention center for a year and a half after admitting guilt in a sexual molestation case of a 10-year-old going back to 2014. Now it turns out that Tubbs, back when he was James, in Bakersfield in 2019, killed a man, beat him with a rock. Guy's name was Michael Clark. They were in some kind of survivalist transient group. That indictment came down yesterday. And we're going to talk now to Shay Santa. Shay was handling the L.A. case as a deputy D.A. for Gascon. Shay, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
What are your thoughts on the charges up in Bakersfield? I mean, this sounds like a brutal killing. A rock to the head, beat him till he died.
Yeah. I mean, the facts that came out yesterday and the evidence shows that Tubbs preys on vulnerable victims. And in this case, the victim, Michael Clark, was vulnerable. And Tubbs was the leader of this group. And Tubbs, in the early morning hours, right before sunrise, lured him out to the water's edge and beat him with a rock and threw his body into the Kern River.
Last time you were on with us and we talked about this case, it was still pending then in Bakersfield, you intimated that George Gascon either knew or should have known that this case was brewing in Bakersfield and used that as part of his decision when he gave that easy sentence to Tubbs to go to the juvenile center.
Yes, so George Gascon could have brought Tubbs and tried him as an adult, but he refused to. And Tubbs has a record that shows he preys on vulnerable victims. He is extremely violent, manipulative, and he refused to even look at anything. There are emails and correspondence where the administration has put on notice that Tubbs is violent and he's going to be, you know, recidivistic. He's likely to commit future violent crimes, and that was not considered.
Was there anything about specifically a Bakersfield murder incident? Was there any hint that something terrible had happened there?
Not on file. However, the victim did know Tubbs and was related to another crime that Tubbs was arrested for. So Tubbs had assaulted this victim in the past. And that was part of his record, which should have been considered, but we're not allowed to consider anything like that under Gascon's administration, his policies.
So you knew he'd assaulted Michael Clark in the past. So when Clark ended up dead, it should have been assumed that perhaps Tubbs had something to do with it since they were in that same group together.
Yeah, I mean, that's in Kern County, so we weren't really investigating that crime. And I can't speak on Kern County's behalf, but I think that they're doing an excellent job based on what I saw yesterday at the preliminary hearing.
It just seems like he was such a monster. He should have been the last guy to get this break and to be given a juvenile sentence and a juvenile girl sentence because of this questionable transgender change that he's claiming. I mean, all of it looks, in retrospect now, just preposterous.
It was preposterous from the very beginning. We pointed this out to the administration. It's no surprise, but it was Gascon as a blanket policy. Here's something that looks bad. Let's sweep it under the rug. And I was unwilling to do that. And then when it came to light, the Gascon administration denied it, blamed everybody else, tried to silence me, and then has begun this retaliation process against me. And thankfully, Kern County stepped up and took Tubbs into custody. And Gascon's also letting the media and the courts and everybody go around calling Tubbs Hannah, when the name Hannah wasn't even made up until months after he was in L.A. custody. We have recordings of him making up the name Hannah.
Oh, you have recordings as he was making up the name?
Yeah, between 9:30 in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon on January 5th of 2022, he was making up the name Hannah. Somewhere in between that period on that day, he made up the name Hannah.
And isn't the important thing here that
about it.
Shay? Isn't the important thing here? This is the type of person that George Gascon will let slide through the legal system, especially since Gascon's had this no exceptions policy that, you know, he decided that because he was not even 18 at the time, oh, so what? He sexually molested a little girl, but let's treat him as a minor. His brain hasn't developed yet. This guy went on to commit many more crimes, including now it appears to be a murder. This is the danger of Gascon. He has no judgment. He's decided to go light on anyone that's under the age of 18. And Tubbs has proven that that policy is dangerous.
Yes, yes. And then he tried to walk back that policy. Gascon tried to walk back it with this board, this committee, to transfer juveniles to adults. But not one juvenile has been transferred to adult. And the people on the committee are the same people that tried to sabotage the Tubbs case, knowing everything that everybody knows, knowing he, you know, is violent, knowing that he has sexually assaulted, admitted to at least one underage girl, and they're aware of another arrest for an underage girl. They know he has two strikes out of the county, out of the state, I mean, and another strike in Kern County. And they just want to sweep it under the rug. And those are the people on the committee that we're supposed to trust to transfer violent sexual predators and murderers to adult court, the same people that are trying to silence me.
They're incredibly stubborn, aren't they? No matter how much news comes out about Tubbs, nobody comes and says, hey, we blew this one.
Right. And you would think they would take it seriously after they learn of all these facts or after the press comes to them with questions. But all they do is deny, retaliate, and try to sweep it under the rug. And then more facts that make them look even worse come out.
Well, thanks.
All right, Shay. Yeah, thanks for coming on again and lending your expertise to us analyzing this story. We appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, that's LA County Deputy District Attorney Shay Sanna, one of the brave ones that goes on media to talk about his objections to his boss, the LA County District Attorney George Gascon. And this, of course, concerns what looks to be the worst of the worst. A man that was treated lightly because he was just short of his 18th birthday after molesting a little girl, and he finds his way through the system, and now he's charged with a murder in Kern County that occurred 3 years ago.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, we'll bring you up to date at 5 o'clock on the mass shooting at a school in Texas that took the lives of 14 elementary school students and one teacher. There's a couple of other people in critical condition. The shooter is dead and, of course, it appears, put himself on social media not long before the shots were fired earlier today. The El Segundo Times finally did a story we brought you last week about how Eric Garcetti's parents have hired lobbyists to help him get the ambassadorship to India. And I thought about the story today because apparently Biden, who's on this Asian tour, was implying that India could be responsible for the darkness that is coming over the world thanks to Putin's invasion of Ukraine. India has basically remained neutral. They have not participated in the sanctions, the condemnations that most of the other countries have. And, of course, India is the largest democracy.
You know, it's neutral, veering on siding with Russia, because Russia is now offering them discount oil. And India needs a lot of it, right? There are 1.2 billion people, something like that.
You can't sell out your principles just for oil.
Well, they did. Or maybe they never had them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why they're walking the fine line. Russia's a big trading partner.
Right. So they want the cheap oil. They've got like a once-in-a-lifetime oil to get oil at a big discount. And they're helping fund Russia's war, in effect, against Ukraine. So
it made me think that it's important, maybe, that there is an ambassador in that position to try to work the Indian government into doing more about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But we don't have one because Garcetti is still dangling in the wind. So why don't you just dump him and find somebody else?
No, and Biden won't cut him.
Nope. So Gil and Suki Garcetti have hired this McGuire Woods Consulting firm. They hired them in April to help their son. One analyst in the story says it's like parents who hire some big outside consulting agency to get their kid into college.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, yeah. There's in the story, and I don't know if this is a subtle dig or this is just the standard way they write, but it said Gil and Suki Garcetti retained McGuire Woods Consulting to help their 51-year-old son.
Yeah, pathetic. They're 80, 82.
So the guy's 51, and he's been in politics in L.A. here over 20 years, and he actually has his mom and dad hire a lobbying agency.
One expert said, I've never seen anything like this before. It's weird. And then they talk about how the mayor's worth millions, and lobbying firms have a minimum monthly retainer. This is Washington, D.C. lobbying companies. 10 to 15,000, some can charge up to 50 grand a month.
Well, why?
Or more. And they've been hired since April.
Why are they paying his lobbying bill?
I don't know.
I mean, Gil is 80.
They were probably like, Gil, is there anything we can do? Anything we can do to help you? We'd like to get you to India, get you out of the country too. That Gil Garcetti.
Yeah, here's that quote. It's a bit like when the parents hire the most expensive coach they can find to get them to the most expensive university. That's sad. He's got no shame. I mean, it's because their dud son wasn't smart enough to cut Rick Jacobs the first time he heard or saw that something gross was going on. I mean, this stuff's disgusting, what he was doing. That's what it's the kind of story that weirds people out. It's like, what do you mean your aide was running around forcing his mouth on other people's mouths? What are you doing here? Like he's grabbing people, you know, the cops' arms, and he's putting his hands on people's crotches.
Oh,
and yeah, I mean, on what planet does Garcetti not? Especially, it also shows you he doesn't really believe the crap that he spouts. All the you know, equal rights, Me Too, blah blah blah. It's just stuff to sell to the boobs. Yeah, it doesn't personally offend him. It was happening in front of his eyes, and it didn't bother him.
The Garcettis put out a statement, and this is where I guess Eric got the way he speaks. We're a close family. If something happens to one of us, it happens to all of us, and everyone helps out. So we brought on a trusted advisor to help tell the truth. We aren't thinking about the unkind things that a critic might say. We're thinking about our family and how important it is to stand by each other, show integrity, be truthful.
Oh.
Wow. Jesus. I mean, you raised a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty clear.
How he actually said that you know that we're showing integrity, and that
yes.
Eric Garcetti is showing integrity. Boy, you talk about opposite day. You talk about.
You think they believe him, or they're just doing this because they want their dud son to continue in politics?
I don't really understand people like this. I really don't. I don't get political people who just spend all day shoveling horse crap at people. Just blowing a lot of gas and expecting people to fall for it. Everything is a prepackaged public relations line. Everything is some scripted comeback, some spun nonsense. It's really awful. It's really awful. That's the dominant communication in public life now. The dominant communication is just horse crap.
All right, 25 years. Well, wait a minute. 35 years. Dr. James Heap was giving gynecological examinations at UCLA, and we learned in the past couple of years that he may have been abusing many, many, many women that came to him. The payout has now reached $700 million, the largest ever related to sex abuse involving a public university. We'll talk about it next.
I just found one more thing. The president of the American Academy of Diplomacy, a guy named Ronald Newman, he's been an ambassador 3 times. He said he's never heard of someone hiring a lobbyist to become an ambassador.
Yeah, one guy said it's just a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
They really don't know what else to do.
John and Ken Show, KFI, tomorrow on Fox 11. A documentary debuts, Lost Angeles, City of Homeless. 6 o'clock tomorrow on Fox 11. And I'm in it throughout. So 6 to 7:30, watch it, record it. It's on Fox 11, Lost Angeles, at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And also, CNN is reporting that a Texas state senator is quoting the Texas Rangers law enforcement, claiming 18 children, 2 adults, killed by that shooter.
No, that would be... more.
Maybe some of the people taken to the hospital have since died.
Yeah, we were running at 14 students.
Yeah. So
most of the afternoon. We'll have a full rundown of the story at 5:05, and we're still waiting to see if there is going to be a press conference. It was scheduled at 3, but they moved it, pushed it. So who knows? Maybe that might have been a development that John just mentioned, that they wanted to have more complete information before they stood before the media. So we'll see if that happens before the show ends, but KFI will carry it whenever it does happen. I'm looking for a quote from, I'm looking at a quote from Vince Fanaldi of Manley, Stewart & Fanaldi. We're going to get someone else on in a moment from the law firm. They, of course, have represented sex abuse victims in many stories we've covered over the years, including teachers and priests. But this one is what's been going on the past few years, which is mind-boggling. Sexual abuse by university doctors is an epidemic in the United States. So is the proclivity of university officials to enable this abuse and attempt to cover it up. Because the story today is that the survivors of this UCLA gynecologist, oncologist, James Heaps, are going to receive $700 million in money because of his sex abuse. He worked for the university for nearly 35 years. And he was powerful. He was well paid. I have a theory that it's because he was a real rainmaker, that they probably ignored complaints. It built up to the point where they couldn't ignore him anymore, and now they're stuck with this huge payout.
$700 million, 515 victims represented in the lawsuit, and we're going to get Jane Riley on, and she's an attorney with the law firm, Manley, Stewart, and Fernaldi. Jane, welcome. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
This is a tremendous, gigantic settlement.
515 people involved, Jane, in the settlement?
Yes, and that's actually only a fraction of the number of women who were subjected to this predator. What's really sad about this case is, as you mentioned at the top, he was an oncologist as well as a gynecologist, and, you know, unfortunately many of his victims passed away before they were able to ever see this day or get justice in the case. And in addition, there was a class action settlement that UCLA entered into that included, you know, thousands of survivors as well. So it's a great day for sexual abuse survivors everywhere. Settlements like this always send a message to these institutions that this behavior just can't continue.
6,000 patients potentially, huh, that he's had through the years at in the system?
And it could well be in excess of that. He was a physician at the UCLA Student Health Center for many years, and he was also treating patients at Ronald Reagan Hospital in addition to his practice on the UCLA campus. And as you mentioned, for 35 years he was doing this.
I think most people listening, and maybe they've heard a little bit about this case or maybe not at all, are probably dumbfounded, in shock, that somebody could sexually abuse hundreds or thousands of, you know, grown women for the most part. And a lot of this got reported to UCLA administrators up and down the line, and that nothing came of it for 35 years. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that's possible in the real world, especially a world that is so sensitized to sexual abuse and violence against women and all these movements that have gone on. How could this – can you explain what the internal culture was that kept such a tight lid on the abuse?
Absolutely. And like you mentioned on the lead-in of the term rainmaker, and I think that really sums up a lot of what was happening here. He was at one point the highest paid physician in the entire UC system. He, in fact, also got into some trouble for fraudulent billing. So he was making a ton of money for UCLA. And women were being referred to him at the lowest point of their lives when they got cancer diagnosis and being told they may not live. So they're coming to him in this extremely vulnerable state. And that combination of he's making the university so much money and bringing them this prestige on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have women that are simply just fighting for their lives and are trusting him to give them the best medical care.
So this was the money that mm-hmm. the patients and their insurance companies were paying for the medical services.
Exactly.
And so UCLA was reaping a huge profit off their medical issues.
Definitely. And as you mentioned, this was reported. It was reported to the medical board as far back as the late 90s, reported again to the medical board in 2014, reported to numerous UCLA administrators and other employees throughout the years. And, you know, this reckoning of sexual abuse, especially in the gynecological realm, before a few years ago, it just seems like people weren't taking women seriously and weren't taking these complaints seriously. Well, hopefully, we're finally starting to enter into a culture where You know, when someone speaks up about this sort of thing, something's actually done about it.
What do we know about all those complaints? Were there reports made? Were they ignored? Was it a combination? What do we know about the details of all these complaints that you said came up over the years?
Some women simply never got a response one way or the other. And some, they were simply told, you know, we looked into this and basically we don't believe you. And they took his word over theirs and took the words of the chaperones who were protecting him. And, you know, unfortunately, everything just sort of died on the vine until finally in 2017, there was a report that was taken seriously, finally, and he was eventually put on leave and dismissed from the, the hospital.
He had chaperones working for UCLA in the room, and they all protected him when it came time to tell the story.
Exactly. And then oftentimes he didn't even have a chaperone in the room, which is against policy, of course, and below the standard of care.
Any of these administrators ever suffer any discipline? Anybody ever get fired?
You know, that, and that's a big issue in these cases, is we're always pushing law enforcement to look into the administrative side. You know, that's what happened in the Michigan State case, where officials were prosecuted. Here, and it is the same thing in USC, there really hasn't been that scrutiny on the administrative level. And until you create change in that realm, you're going to continue to have bad actors infiltrating the system and using it to their advantage.
Can I just say this, Jane? We covered the George Tyndall story, too. And I'm just putting this out there for what it's worth. This is the only time we covered a sex-abusing doctor, this would be Heaps, that we actually got emails from some women who praised him.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't believe the story. They didn't want to believe the story. We didn't have that with Tyndall or any other medical professional we covered who was involved in alleged sex abuse. So I just wonder now, he has been indicted by a grand jury, right?
He has, and he's actually coming up for a criminal trial in August of this year.
Yeah, I just found that fascinating. But obviously he didn't sexually abuse every woman that he, you know, examined or treated. So I can understand that.
True,
but they were. Yes, go ahead.
I think part of it, too, is, you know, some people were so grateful to him that they, and credit him for saving their lives. Again, yeah. He's treating cancer patients. And you're going to have a contingent of people that, you know, either nothing happened to them, which is great, and or they're so grateful to him that they credit him for saving their lives that that's sort of the predominating emotion.
You know, we've talked to members of, and we've had John Manley on many times, and Mr. Finaldi, and 20 years worth of cases, like Ken said at the beginning, with the Archdiocese, with various schools. And it seems like, to some extent, it's the same story every time. Nobody cared in all these administrations. They were just afraid of getting bad publicity. But nobody actually cared about the women, the men, the little boys, little girls. There just seems to be something in a lot of people's human nature that sexual crimes like this just doesn't register. It just doesn't get them upset.
And I think it's that they, like you said, you don't want to rock the boat or risk any bad publicity. But the irony of this, and this has played out over and over again, if you let the problem continue, even if you look at it from a completely self-interested point of view, and you set aside the damage to the victims, which is horrific, you're going to create more problems for yourself later down the line, the longer you allow this to fester.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's starting to get through to some of these institutions. Even if they're only looking out for their own self-interest, they can't afford to allow this to keep happening.
All right, Jane, thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for covering the story.
Yep, that's Jane Riley, an attorney with Manley, Stewart, and Finaldi. And yeah, I thought about that same point she just made regards to the Catholic Church and these archdioceses and the Mahonies. They just ignored this and let it fester to the point where it just blows up so big, they're gone. They're completely inundated. And she made the point that maybe that will start to change when you have huge settlements.
Okay, sorry
like
to
this.
Break in, guys, but that news conference is starting out of
I'm
Texas.
Not taking any questions. For the investigation is not complete. This is a tragic time in our district, and we greatly appreciate your patience and understanding. Here to provide a short statement and not take any questions is our Uvalde CISD Chief of Police, Pete Arredondo.
I don't see you. Switch.
Yeah. Would you like me to do this again? Let's do this again, Peter.
Sure.
This is the Texas
I apologize.
Shooting.
I did not realize we were not on, and you probably could not hear what I was saying. I am Anne-Marie Espinoza, Executive Director of Communications and Marketing for Uvalde CISD. This is a tragic time in our district, so please know the investigation is not complete. We will only be sharing a statement with you, not providing questions. We greatly appreciate your patience and understanding. Here to share a statement and not take questions is our Uvalde CISD Chief of Police, Pete Arredondo.
Thank you. Good evening. Again, briefly, as of now, we are still working on this active investigation. Once we're able to provide information to the families, we will do so first and foremost, obviously. Our priorities is to get information to our families and give them some information. So please bear with us in regards to that. Secondly, once we do get some information that we can release to the public, we will be doing that. So please know once we do get some information, we will share that with you and call another press conference. Let me assure you, the intruder is deceased, and we are not actively looking for another individual or any other suspects in this case. We definitely ask you all to keep the families that are involved in your prayers. Thank you so much.
Is that it?
Here to provide a statement and not take any questions is our superintendent, Dr. Hal Harrell.
Good evening. This was a tragic and senseless event today, and my heart was broke today. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with all our families as we go through this day and days to come. A few announcements that we need to make is beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m., we will have grief counseling and support at the Civic Center for our students, our staff, community members, anybody that needs to come at that time. And we may be there more than one day, may be there several days. Our ROB staff will meet at 8 a.m. At the Civic Center as well. We'll begin with visiting with them and seeing what those needs are. School will be closed. The school year's done. We'll have no school tomorrow or Thursday. All activities are canceled throughout the district. No graduation is on people's mind. We will come out with a notice on that at a later time. All the staff members, they will report to their campuses, other than Rob campus, which will come to the Civic Center. Again, my heart was broken today. We're a small community, and we will need your prayers to get us through this. Thank you.
Again, this is a tragic event in our community. We are very sorry that we cannot provide you more information, but greatly appreciate your patience and understanding during this very difficult time. We ask that you pray for all of the families affected. Thank you, and be safe.
All right, that's the news conference from Uvalde, Texas, where a shooter walked into a school and killed 18 school children and two adults. Eventually, he was killed by the police. And his name was Salvador Roma, 18 years old. Ramos was born in North Dakota, lived in Uvalde, and he shot his grandmother before heading to the school. He was in a shootout with Border Patrol agents, one of those agents injured. He barricaded himself inside the school building. And here we go. He posted photos of his guns on Instagram, and before the shooting, he messaged one girl he vaguely knew, hinting he was planning an attack. Ramos tagged her in a photo of his guns and wrote, "I got a little secret I want to tell you. Be grateful I tagged you." And she replied, "No, it's just scary. I barely know you, and you tagged me in a picture with some guns."
He supposedly was an 18-year-old student at the local high school. He shot his grandmother first. She is supposedly alive but critical. And then went to the school, opened fire, then barricaded himself in a room. He was eventually killed by responding officers.
And the victims were aged between 7 and 11, according to CNN.
Oh, man. That's like...
That's really young. I mean, it's...
Connecticut school shooting from, I think it was 2012. Is it 10 years ago already? I think it is.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook, where I think it was more than 20 were killed, but still.
It was 20 children and 6 staff members at Sandy Hook.
Right. So this is 18 children.
This is the worst shooting since then.
And also the worst school shooting in Texas history.
His social media was full of photos with guns.
Yeah, isn't that the way now?
Okay, I mean, again, how many times are we going to read the same story in the hours after a shooting? He's broadcasting to the world that he's insane, and everybody just stumbles along about their day.
It's not clear how much before the shooting he was notifying people or giving anybody a heads up that he was actually going to do this. You just pose with guns on social media. It doesn't mean you're going to kill everybody.
No, but I'm thinking maybe you should assume they are. Why don't we just reverse the whole dynamic? If you're constantly putting up photos with guns, maybe you ought to be taken to the mental hospital for a while. Maybe that's a sign. I don't know. How many people put up guns every day just for the heck of it and don't end up in some kind of violent incident? I just wonder. I don't come from gun culture. I got Facebook. I look at it every day. I don't see anybody posting guns. It's not my world. So maybe down in Texas it's more prevalent. But boy. And you know what? Too bad the girl didn't, not that this might have done anything, she called immediately the police. Of course, assuming the police responded. But you got to have that emergency attitude, I think, about this stuff. In 20 minutes we're going to have Joe Biden on it, and I bet you he'll have a bag full of stale political cliches for the occasion.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I imagine the opposite universe where people are reporting, see something, say something. And now we got thousands of people rounded up and there's going to be screams that this is some sort of fascist society where everybody's rounded up
and maybe you say
detained for months, years.
Maybe you say too bad. Hey, you want to save these kids? Remember the old phrase, if you can save just one life?
Yeah,
we could save a couple of dozen at a time if we started overreacting a little to these whack jobs.
Maybe it'd be easier just to disarm everybody.
Well, you got 400 million guns, so...
He apparently bought these guns legally on his 18th birthday, according to State Senator Roland Gutierrez. Now, Robb Elementary School has 600 students enrolled. It's in Uvalde, which is the hometown of actor Matthew McConaughey, who was rumored, I guess, to run for governor at one point. 60 miles east of the Mexican border, 80 miles west of San Antonio. He had a handgun and possibly a rifle when he entered the school. Now, there is still a report that's hanging out there, and it's mostly from the Daily Mail, that a pickup truck he crashed outside the school, he was involved in a gunfight with Border Patrol agents who arrived on the scene. And one of the agents was injured but is expected to survive. Now, I don't know if that's who ultimately killed him when he barricaded himself somewhere inside the school, but that may clear up what we were talking about when we first came on the air. There was some involvement by Border Patrol because we couldn't figure out what started all this and who this guy was.
Don McLaughlin is the mayor of Uvalde. He told Fox News that shots were fired off-site. And after shooting one person, the gunman ran to the school. I guess the one person was his grandmother.
Yes, who was supposedly alive, but in critical condition. Because Uvalde, it's not right on the border, but I'm looking at a map here, and it is on the western side of San Antonio, probably about halfway to the Mexican border on the 90. Then that would be in Del Rio. I remember talking about Del Rio. There was some sort of migrant situation going on in Del Rio a few years ago.
I'm looking here, and all the political hacks have already come out. Chris Murphy is a senator from Connecticut, a Democrat. He goes, I'm here on this floor to beg, to literally get down on my hands and knees and beg my colleagues, find a path forward.
Oh, I grabbed that audio. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I had Ray
grab
it.
Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing?
Why are you here? Bribes from people who want bills passed.
If
that's
not
why you're there.
To solve a problem as existential as this. This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day.
Well, so what
he
do you
was
want to do?
The, by the way, he was the congressman from the Sandy Hook area of Connecticut. Yeah. At the time of that shooting, he's now a U.S. Senator, Chris Murphy.
Okay, what has he done the last 10 years then?
Probably pushed for all sorts of...
Yeah, gun control laws that will never pass.
Gun control bills, I'm sure.
People aren't going to go for gun control. They do have a constitutional right, and you're not going to change that. And secondly, look at all the crime that's gone crazy. It's caused more people to buy guns, especially here in L.A., because nobody wants to enforce the law and put violent felons away and keep them away. Instead, we have Gascon letting them out by the hundreds, thousands. So I don't. What do you want people to do? Besides, you know what? Oh, some family buying a gun to protect themselves from one of Gascon's felons. That's not the person showing up at the school. What do you do with all the? They don't want to talk about the mental illness here, the weird, sick obsessions, the influence of the internet, the negligent parents.
Oh, it's just evil. I'm tired of hearing mental illness. These are evil people.
Okay, well then you got it. Then take away their civil liberties. What is the harm of identifying someone as evil and putting them away? They're evil. They're not useful to society. Take them away as soon as you see some bad signs.
Take them away and do what with
them? Put them in a mental institution and lock them
forever?
Up.
Forever? You can't do
until
that.
You're going to let the evil out? Either evil is in or evil is locked up. Those are the two choices.
Well, you're going to be...
There isn't a third choice is what I'm saying. If you identify evil, you have to lock the evil up. Nothing is going to magically turn that brain into goodness.
Well, there's thought evil and action evil. This guy is action evil because he shot people. Thought evil? I don't know how long you can keep them away.
Action evil always comes from thought evil.
Right, but not all thought evil leads to action evil.
Okay, but what are we losing?
You should see what people are thinking right now.
Okay, but shouldn't we protect the innocent kids? The 7-year-olds?
You may have millions. You're going to have to lock up if you go with thought evil.
I get it to the hilt. Nobody wants to make this
millions.
I get it. Nobody wants to make this decision. Makes everybody uncomfortable to say out loud what we have to do. But that's the truth. Is that's what you have to do because we've heard this debate for decades now. Nobody's coming up with a new idea. There is no new idea. There's nothing you can do to stop this.
Well,
absolutely nothing, unless you take the person who's on the cusp of committing evil, grab him, and lock him up before he actually shows up at the
school. And we got to get people that see this crap on social media to report him.
Nobody does.
I mean, look what happened in Buffalo. People went into that little group, 15 people, right? Listened to his plan. Nothing. 30 minutes before the shooting, nothing.
They root him on.
They ought to be arrested.
They want to do it. Yes, there you go. Why don't we round up all the 18-year-olds who are on that Discord app to witness this? Let's start doing that.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say,
Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.